Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Good work, everybody. Welcome again. It's great to be in church. It feels weird because we just had a week in church, which was great. And then, tomorrow I've got to go to work. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but it's going to be okay. It's great to be here, yes. So the theme at Hillsong Conference this year was No Other Name, and we just sang that new song tonight, which is great, and I love that song. And so tonight I thought I would kind of continue that through a little and just talk a little bit on No Other Name. And I guess try not to... I'm not trying to just copy somebody's message from the week, although that probably would have been fine. They're really, really good. I really would encourage you to get there next year. Like, really would. We were the team from Laos who had literally come all the way from Laos to be at Hillsong Conference. And we live an hour's drive away, so I would say, we have no reason not to be there. It's really is easy to do. It's really worthwhile, so I'd really encourage you to do it. You don't have to go every single year, but it's just really good to have that kind of thing. And I just, we just came home just, I guess, encouraged and full of faith. And, it's just being fed for a week is just nice, and you come back ready to go. So I'm ready to go. And so I'm going to talk a bit about that tonight and about no other name. And so obviously the no other name is Jesus. And how there is no name in heaven or earth that can do anything other than his name. And that is the name that saves. Amen. Yeah. And it's pretty obvious. And it's a pretty simple theme and it's a pretty simple message. But I think it's so powerful. Because when we understand that there is nothing and no one that can be greater than the name of Jesus, then it can transform our entire lives. And I think we can go from being a Christian that just kind of floats through or is doing okay into one that lives in power and faith and purpose when we really put Jesus where he's supposed to be in our lives and put him as the name above all other names, and really use that as a foundation. I think we often put so many names in front of him in our life, and we turn to so many other names. We turn to money, we turn to relationships, we turn to issues or illness or other things that we, by the way that we live and the way that we react and the way that we respond, we put those names above Jesus, yeah? And this temptation is really strong sometimes, I think, to come and go, well, yeah, I want to worship God and I want to honor God, but, work's really busy at the moment, or I've got to do this, or I'm just feeling sick, or all of those things. And they become these things that whether we mean to or not, we end up putting them above the name of Jesus. And it really limits us. It doesn't just limit us, it's just you just can't function as a follower of Jesus without following Jesus. Like it's pretty foundational. It says in Acts 4, I'm gonna try and find it so that I read it properly. Just really simply, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. It's not a complicated thing. It's really simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it's very clear, and the word is clear, that there is no other name, and that Jesus is the answer, and he is the one that we need to honor above all else, yeah? But tonight I want to look at, I guess, not just, okay, I can acknowledge that as a concept, or I can say that, or I can sing that song, but I guess how that outworks in my life and how I can live in the power that comes from doing that. And I want to look at this little passage. It's a little story in Acts, and it's Peter healing somebody in the name of Jesus, but it's not the one that Kia just used, which was really lucky. No, it was good. That was a great offering word. So it's in Acts chapter 9 and verse 32. And I think I often don't read this little bit that much because Acts chapter 9 is kind of this big thing where Saul has the big road to Damascus experience and becomes Paul and is called by God and there's all this stuff happens. And then kind of the little bit at the end of this chapter, there's these couple of amazing miracles that sometimes I don't even really look at that much, yeah? Because you're just like, man, there's Paul. He's like going to write the whole rest of the book and here he is kind of thing. It's this pivotal moment in the history of the church. And then there's this little story and it's about a guy called Aeneas. And it says in verse 32, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. There's this crazy, amazing story of the name of Jesus bringing healing, salvation, and power, yeah? And it's just really cool, amen? And so here he is, this guy, Aeneas, whatever you want to say. And he's been bedridden for 8 years and he's there and he has no hope. And I find it interesting that he is there and he is a believer. Like the implication, I guess, around this is he goes to visit the Lord's people and he finds this guy. Now, I don't know, so I'm kind of going to play some license over this passage. So, you know, you can come and argue with me later if you want. But I think sometimes even as people who would say, yep, I'm a Christian and I'm following God, we sometimes can live without the power of the name of Jesus. Yeah. And we can get to points in our lives where we've tried, like we're saying, yep, and I'm going to attend church and I'm going to do this and I'm going to try and do the right things. But if I don't have the power of his name, then I can only get so far and eventually I'm going to fail and eventually I'm going to find myself in a position where I just can't do it by myself. Yeah. And Aeneas is in this spot where he's, I guess, realized that his name is not enough. He has been bedridden for 8 years and he knows that he can't do it by himself. And we have this culture and this community of self-improvement, yeah, where everything about everything is like about bettering yourself, doing what you can. We've been watching House Rules and the grand final is tonight. We've struggled to be that interested. I think we've stuck with it because we like home renovation shows and haven't found many people that we really want to win. It's made an issue. But anyway, what was I saying? You know, we love those kind of shows where people through their own will and effort and grit can improve something about their life. You know, whether it's losing weight, renovating their house, whatever it is, we love that stuff, yeah? Because it's this thing that we have in our own heads that is, it's my name that can get me somewhere, yeah? And we need to realize that our name is hopeless. There's nothing special about my name. I think there are a dozen Andrew Thomases in Wollongong, let alone wherever in the world. Like, there is nothing amazing about my name. There's no power in my name. And my own effort and my own striving is only going to get me so far. Yeah, and it is not going to get me through a lifetime following Jesus. It is not going to get me to fulfill the plans and the purposes that he has for me, because the plans that God has for me and for you and for us, you know, they're bigger than anything that we can do. And that's deliberate because God wants us to rely on him. He says, I'm going to give you these goals and these visions and these plans that I know you can't achieve because you need to trust me and you need to realize that you can't do it by yourself. And so I think like Aeneas is in this story and he is at this point where he is hopeless by himself and where, like, I don't know his mental state, but he is there and he needs Jesus, whether he knows it or not. He needs the power. And this is exactly what happens. Verse 34, Peter just comes to him and just says, Jesus Christ heals you. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. This is this statement of fact and faith, you know, in one thing where he just says, it's not like, you know, oh, come on, God, please, if you'd like to, can you just heal him maybe kind of sort of if you would. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. He just says, Jesus Christ heals you. Done. And he gets up. Yeah. And it's so simple and it's so matter of fact. And I think we can, you know, as people who honor God and who put his name above anything else, we can have faith and we can have confidence in the power of that for our own lives and for other people. Yeah. Like when I come to a situation in our life, I can have confidence that if I call on the name of Jesus, he will act. And that doesn't have to be a maybe or a twisting of the arm or something like that. But I can come with this just total assurance that God will move in my life and that his name has power and that the name of Jesus has power. And I think what's like great about Peter, now Peter didn't start out like this because we know that he denies Jesus, you know, and he has these issues, but he turns around and by the power and the grace of Jesus, he turns around. And then in Acts is just this story of him going from strength to strength in the name of Jesus, where he is healing people and he is not saying this has anything to do with me, but this is the power of Jesus. And he just has this absolute confidence in the name of Jesus that he can go to this guy, Aeneas, who has been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. It's not just a little while. You know, he's like everybody has given up on this guy. And he goes and just with absolute confidence just says, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up. Simple, but full of faith. And I think that can be the same for us. We know that there is healing and there is power and there is strength and there is all of those things in the name of Jesus. And there's no other name on earth that can do anything like that. But Jesus' name has power. And when we speak it out over our situation, it has power. And we can have faith and we can have confidence. And I think Peter's just absolute assurance in the name of Jesus is something that we can really learn from. Yeah. And that we can really take with us as we go into our lives. And not just for ourselves, but for other people. Like, I can have confidence in the name of Jesus for my friend's situation, for the things that are happening in my family, for the stuff that I'm believing for other people. I don't have to have fear. I don't have to have doubt. I don't have to have anything else but confidence in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, we're hopeless by ourselves, but there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just really love this story. I want to just move through. There's just a few things, I guess, and I've already done a couple that I really just felt God was speaking to me from this little passage. I love that when you read the word, there's so much that can come out of it and you can get just new things all the time. But I think we need to know that the name of Jesus carries purpose. So Peter says to Aeneas, he says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. You know, I think sometimes we're like, God, I want you to heal me so that I can just sit back and keep doing what I was doing. You know, I want you to move in my life and I want your power so that I can just do nothing. I don't know. Like, you know, does anybody, it's just me. Okay. You know, but what Peter says to Aeneas is, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. So your life is different now. So you need to take responsibility for yourself and you need to do something. Now it seems simple, like roll up your mat. That's not a big deal. But for a guy that's been lying in bed for 8 years, that's like a big next step. Yeah. And I think what Peter is saying to him is, you've been waiting for this. Here it is. Get up and do something now. And I think we can get into this trap where we're like, I am saved and I am healed and that's great. And thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm just going to continue to live my life the same way that I was living it. Yeah. I'm going to continue to just sit back because I don't know what to do next. But Peter says to Aeneas, he says, get up, roll up your mat. He says, I'm going to give you a purpose. And in the name of Jesus, there is purpose. There's not just healing, but there's calling, yeah? And we can live healed and we can live saved, but we need to live called. And we have been given a task. You know, it's maybe not to roll up your mat, you know, that's, you know, but it's something. You know, we have been called to make disciples. We've been called to share what God has done for us. You know, we've been given gifts and talents and purpose. And when we are healed and when we understand the power in the name of Jesus, then we understand that there's purpose and that that name carries purpose in our lives, yeah? And I know this is like a simple example. And Peter doesn't say to Aeneas, you know, get up and change the world. He says, just get up and roll up your mat. And my, I guess, takeaway from that for everybody, and if you're writing notes, maybe you could give yourself this question, is what's my roll up the mat? It doesn't have to be what's my 10-year vision or lifetime goal of serving Jesus, but what's the next thing for me? Because I see this as like a next step, I think, for Aeneas. Peter's like, you know, you're healed, now do this. And so he does just the next thing. And I think it's hard for us sometimes to look at, I guess, a lifetime of purpose and a lifetime of serving Jesus and kind of have this real clear idea, because, you know, that doesn't always happen. Or maybe there's this nebulous idea of, all right, I'm called and I want to serve God, but I don't know what to do. But we just need to identify the next step, yeah? What's the next thing? You know, roll up your mat. There's something that you just need to do that's next, and it's pretty obvious. Don't overthink this, yeah? I don't think you need to over-spiritualize what your next step is. I think it's a pretty easy one. Maybe it's just, yep, I'm just going to be here every week. I'm just going to be at kin every week. I'm just going to start serving. I don't know what it is, or I'm going to just read my Bible every day. Like Bill Hybels was at conference and he talked about your chair and spending 15 minutes a day reading the word. And maybe that's you rolling up your mat. Yeah. It doesn't have to be some big deal, but it's what's this next thing that I've got to do? Because I think we need to realize that we need to get up and do something. When we're healed and when we're saved by the power of Jesus' name, we need to understand that that name carries purpose as well, and that he has a job for us to do, amen? Yeah. He has something for us, and let's not be afraid to do the work of the gospel. And we are saved by grace, but we are saved by grace for a purpose. So let's not forget about that and think, yes, I'm healed. Now I can just lie back down. Now, that's not what Aeneas does. He doesn't just lie back down again and go, well, I can use my legs now, but I'm just a bit tired, so I'll just have a little rest and maybe tomorrow I'll get up and roll up my mat. But you know what I mean? So we understand that our names are hopeless, that we are healed by the name of Jesus, that his name carries purpose, and that his name goes beyond us. It says in verse 35, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him, Aeneas, and turned to the Lord. You know, we can't underestimate the power of our story, the impact that his name has on our lives and what that means to other people. Now, Peter didn't tell Aeneas to get up and go and tell everybody in the town what Jesus had done for him. But it's pretty obvious, yeah? He is healed and he is walking around. And everybody in the town was like, you know, I haven't seen you for 8 years. Where have you been? Oh, I was paralyzed. They probably knew. You know what I mean? There was this drastic and immediate difference in his life that he didn't try and hide. He got up and he walked around and he showed what Jesus had done. Are you with me on this? Does this make sense? And he wasn't ashamed of that, but he didn't try and do anything crazy. He just lived out of the healing and the power and the purpose that Jesus had given him. And all around him, people turned to God because they saw the genuine power of his name on Aeneas' life, yeah? So what is the name that we are carrying? Now, what is the name that we carry? How do we do that? You know, are there things in our lives that have changed and things that have impacted us and power that has come onto our life because of what Jesus has done and healing and breakthrough and all of those things? Sorry, I'm just so distracted because Tim has fallen asleep. sorry, Tim. I could see you dozing and I was like, I'll just let him go. And then I just kept getting distracted. And then Luke, I could see him. Sorry, Tim. I don't mean to be rude. I just couldn't concentrate anymore. Fair enough. That's all right. Don't worry. It's fine. It doesn't matter. It's good. Did well. Good work getting to church, Tim. Thank you. Did well. That's right. Better off sleeping in church than in your bed. I'm not having a go at you, sorry. I just couldn't. I was too distracted. All right. All right, what name are we carrying? You know, the other day we'd come back because Mayor had to work on Thursday and I was going to fill the car up with petrol. And I got to the petrol station and I filled it up and I went to walk in and realized that I'd left my wallet at home and I'd already filled the car. Oh, it was so awkward. And so I was like, I have no idea what to do right now. Like, I'm really stuck. And I had my phone with me. So I just went in and I said to the guy, oh, I'm really sorry. I've left my wallet at home and I've filled up the car. Can I leave my phone here and then, you know, come back with my wallet? And he was cool. And I went home and I got my wallet and I drove back and I, you know, sorted it all out. But, you know, sometimes we are walking around and we forget our wallet, if you want to keep the analogy with me and take that. You know, we are doing all these things, but we forget the name that we carry. And then we realize, oh, I can't do it because I don't have the name. I'm not carrying the name. Yeah, you know, I needed the name of Commonwealth Bank in my wallet so that I could pay for the petrol. And we need the name of Jesus so that we can show people what he's done for us. Yeah, and that becomes the testimony and it becomes the power in our lives. And so let's not forget to carry him with us all the time so that no matter what the situation, you know, like Kia was saying, that it becomes an opportunity to point to Jesus. And we don't forget that that's the name that we carry with us, yeah? And that's the name that goes beyond everything that we do. And Aeneas is healed, and the name of Jesus goes past him. You know, Peter comes, and it's not in his name that he heals this guy, but it's in the name of Jesus. You know, the name of Jesus has power that goes beyond our situation, and we need to be able to, we need to just to walk in, I guess, confidence in that. Not be ashamed of that, not be awkward about that, not be weird about that. But when we have just a genuine faith and when God has just done real things in our life, let's be real about that. You know, why not? You know, let's not forget the name that we carry, yeah? There is no other name by which man can be saved. And we carry that name. And that gives us a responsibility to share that with other people, because if I don't share it with other people, then how do they know that that's the only name that's going to save them? Yeah. It's up to everybody to make their own choice, but we've got to put it out there. Yeah. And say, I'm not, you know, it doesn't mean you have to have a theological argument with every person you see. All it is here's my life and look at how it's different. And that's not because I tried really hard. It's because Jesus touched me and he did something amazing in my life. You know, I couldn't walk. Now I can walk. That's the story. That's Aeneas' story, you know, and it was because of Jesus. So what's that in our lives? Let's remember that his name goes beyond us and goes into the lives of the people around us, and we don't need to be ashamed to carry that. Amen? Amen. So I guess coming from that story, I just wanted to share, I guess, a few of those thoughts. And I hope that as you going through your Bible and your time with God, you just feel that God speaks to you. You know, it's a simple story in the Bible, but there's so much there that speaks to us of who Jesus is, what he does in our lives, how we are called to live, yeah? And so let's know that we can't do it ourselves, that we're healed by the name of Jesus, that name carries purpose, that we need to get up and roll up our mat, and that name goes beyond us, and that there are people in our world and in our lives and in our families and in our workplaces and our school and our university that need the name of Jesus, and we carry it. Amen. And we can be like Peter that says, Jesus Christ heals you. Yeah. I'm going to pray. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that there is no other name, but because of the name of Jesus, we are saved. Because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us and every person, God, we can have healing, we can have salvation, we can have power, we can have purpose. I pray that, God, as we go into our week, we would carry the name of Jesus well. God, we wouldn't forget it. We wouldn't leave it at home. We wouldn't leave it at church. But we would carry your power and your purpose with us, God, that we would not be afraid to do the work that you've called us to, that we would understand that we're not healed to sit back, but we're healed to get up, roll up our mat and go. God, I pray that you would show each of us what that is. Show each of us what that next thing, that mat for us, it looks like. But God, help us to really show the power of your name in every situation. Thank you, God. Before we close, we're going to pray a prayer together that we do every week. And it's a simple one, and I think probably all of you know it. But we pray it every week because I don't know where your heart is at. And only you know that, and only God knows that. And I don't want a week to go past where we don't give an opportunity for you to get right with God. Because it's only in the name of Jesus that we are saved. And it's because of his death on the cross and his resurrection, his power over death, and his love and his grace for us, which means that we can live. So we're going to pray this prayer together. The guys will put it up on the screen. And it's simple, but let's pray it together because we're a family, so we do things together. And let's pray it out loud and clear. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Amen. Great. Thanks, guys. Before we play a song, we're going to play a song and we're going to finish. It is Missions Week, so we have our faith promise giving, so we're going to receive that. If you missed this morning, it was a great word from Dad on missions. And in a few weeks' time, we have Matt and Nana with us, which is really exciting. So Matt's going to be sharing on the Sunday night, the 27th. So let's just, you know, that's what it's about. I think Dad said it was workers before the work. And I think that's what's great about our faith promise is that we're not saying, here's an exciting project that we can get behind because it makes me feel better. But here are people who have just dedicated their entire lives to doing what God has called them to, and I get to partner with that. So if you got that ready, we'll receive that. If you don't, and if you're not doing Faith Promise at the moment, I'd really encourage you to pray about it or just do it. God already told me that you should do it. Just get into it, yeah? I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything you're doing around the world. Thank you for faithful people, God, who have just responded to your simple call to go and make disciples. And so, God, I pray you'll bless this offering. You'd be with us. God, you would stir our hearts for what you're doing in the world. We thank you for the blessing of partnering with these people to do everything that you have called us to do. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Cedar Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.